Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Many people idolize achievements, and usually they're driven by, validation, maybe status, maybe financial gain. But then you have other folks who lack self-discipline and motivation altogether. So we wanted to take a look at this question. How can Christians pursue a healthy biblical goal setting that avoids extremes? In other words, being productive to the glory of God without going off the deep end and getting yourself in the weeds.
Yeah, well, we spoke to Anna Avila about that, and I took notes, and you can too.
Okay, well, let's talk about productivity. Again, this is such a great resource, and why did you start thinking about this? I mean, the Bible tells us that we need to redeem our time, and we are wise to number our days. All of that is true, isn't it?
It is. Unfortunately, I didn't start thinking about this topic for the best reasons. I've always been sort of a productivity nerd because I liked to do stuff and achieve stuff from when I was little. I was one of those kids whose parents just signed her up for every class, every extracurricular. So I did math and chemistry and speech and poetry and singing and a lot of the things. So I had to learn quite young how to manage my time. But it was not, as I said, for the right reasons. I just wanted to accomplish a ton of stuff and be clapped at and people to say nice things about me and stuff. But then when I really understood the gospel, I went to church since I was very little, but I didn't understand the gospel until I was like 15. And when I saw myself as a sinner and I was confronted with how I was living for accomplishment and for the praise of other people, I started to change the way I saw productivity, but it was a slow process. God started convicting me about why I did the things I do, why I was making so much effort. And I realized at some point that I had productivity backward. I was trying to be productive and make effort and do things to get to be somebody, to reach a certain accolades or recognition instead of out of gratefulness for what God had already done for me, which is the gospel. The gospel is what moves us to do what we do, to do good works, to use our gifts to serve God and serve others. So it was a slow process, but I'm glad God led me there, and I want to share that with people now.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it is a process, that is for sure. But as the Lord led you through all of this, that's really interesting about the validation part as well, you know. And that's getting our, I don't know, if you live for the applause of others, then you will die for the lack of it. That's a very precarious place to be, isn't it?
It is. It's a roller coaster. When there are good days and you check off all the things on your to-do list or the project went great and everybody loved it, you feel on top of the world. You feel like you're the best and everything goes great. But when you have a bad day, when there's sickness or plans don't go as you expected, then you crash and you feel like the worst person in the world and you're depressed, and it's very exhausting. So I'm glad the gospel frees us from that.
Yeah, live by the sword, die by the sword. If someone has that power over you, you live by their rules, not your own.
Yes, that's so very true. And you know, part of it too is, and you touched on this as well, Anna, is the whole idea of the why. You know, why am I doing this? That takes courage for us to sit down, perhaps with an open Bible, preferably with an open Bible, and spend time in the presence of the Lord. And during our usual time with Him, because we definitely want to spend, you can call it a quiet time, you can call it your devotionals, whatever you want to call it, but we want to spend time in the presence of the Lord because we love Him, we want to grow to know Him better, we want to connect with Him always because He's number one. But the challenge is, okay, how, if I'm opening up the Word of God, how do I allow the Word of God to help me answer the why at the same time I am setting goals? So I guess setting godly, Christ-honoring goals to go into my why, you can't separate that from your personal relationship with the Lord and the Word of God. All of this fits together, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I believe God, from the beginning of the Bible, speaks to us about how we were made in His image to do His work. We were made with gifts and talents and energy and strength and brain power to make the earth He created flourish. So that is something we find from the first pages of the Bible. And of course, then we realize that things go wrong and sin enters the world and we're broken now. And all our motivations and even our faculties, our abilities are damaged by sin. And we see in the Bible how the solution to that is not to make good plans and try to make an effort to overcome our own sin, but to trust in Jesus. And when we do that, He transforms our heart and now gives us the ability through His Spirit to go to Him and ask for wisdom to actually use the strengths and the talents and all the abilities He gave us for His glory and the good of others. But we need to start from Him and ask for His wisdom. The good news is that He's willing to give it to us.
Love the Lord your God with all of your
yes.
heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is really a foundation of why we do what we do. And it is, as you point out in your book, it is a matter of our character. And, you know, as we set these goals, and is it okay to be ambitious? What about that?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's tricky. I do believe that we were made to create things, to do things, because sometimes we have this idea that, I don't know, when we get to heaven, we'll be in a hammock just hanging out and chilling. But I don't think that's biblical. God made us to be stewards, and that was before the fall. So I think work is an important thing, and wanting to accomplish things is good, because we want to glorify God, we want to represent Him, and God is working. So accomplishment is not a bad thing, but we have to put everything in its place. And when it becomes a God, when it becomes what we crave the most, what guides our lives, that can be a problem. So we always need to subject our goals and our dreams, our ambitions that can come from the Lord to His kingdom and to His power and to His wisdom. So we need to make sure all the time to have our eyesight set on Jesus, on the Lord, and then everything else will fall into place, I believe.
Yes, I agree 100%. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "A man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." See, right there, there's a good example of the fact that God is not anti-planning. But if you go to see Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So those two verses kind of go together, don't they?
They do, and I find them so encouraging. I can do my best, ask for wisdom, try to create the plan that looks best according to His Word, according to the abilities and the giftings He has given me, and then I can walk in faith, trusting that He will make my path straight. That is so beautiful. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to believe that everything is up to me, up to my strength, up to my intelligence. It's not. God is in control, and that is something that encouraged me to keep going without being anxious or fearful.
You know what I call that? I call that freedom.
Yes.
Man, we don't have to have that pressure, you know? And the Lord is leading us, and that's why we want to stay in close fellowship with Him, so that we can hear from Him every day. You don't want to have to go looking for God, so to speak, when you need to make a big decision, or, you know, when you're in a crisis. You want to have that daily connection with Him. And that's why spending time in His Word, spending time with Him, it's not a have-to, it's a get-to, and it's a want-to, and I need it.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Okay, you know what's really dangerous, Anna, is when we talk about redeeming the time, which, by the way, the biblical reference for this is Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. It's really easy for us to feel guilty about this. We pack our bags, we go on a guilt trip, and we're like, look at how much time I have wasted. And so there's that danger. Then there's the danger of looking at others and saying, look how much they've accomplished. And so that all just ties into that sense of guilt. But you see, this conversation is not about guilt. This is about hope. This is about pivoting. This is about the rest of our lives, isn't it?
It is, and it's about grace. Grace that is abundant. So I do relate with the sense of guilt, and I can be tempted to be despaired when my days don't go as I planned them to go, when I fall into the trap of a YouTube rabbit hole or whatever else.
Oh, that never
takes
happens.
My attention.
That never happens to us. Actually, it happens on the air all the time today. As a matter of fact,
YouTube is very powerful,
yeah.
And it can distract us, and we can feel defeated and feel like all the effort is not worth it. But God is good. God is good, and He's right with us. He is the most interested one in us living lives that are holy, living lives that are full of good things that He has prepared for us. So we can rely on that grace and ask for forgiveness, repent if we need to, and continue to move forward, because God has paid it all in Jesus Christ, and we're free to be productive.
That's right. And you know, what is it, Kate, the phrase, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, the next
right.
best time is today?
Right now.
Right. So
make
you
the
can,
changes now.
You can make the changes now, so
she
today can be
to
a new
herself.
Beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. Okay. Remember, no guilt, no shame.
No,
we just
no guilt,
talked about
but,
that.
Yeah, it's true.
And I want to ask you about how recognizing our limits can be helpful when we think about productivity, because I hate to say we have a God complex, but some of us kind of sort of do, and we need to realize we do have limits and maybe just extend some grace to ourselves while challenging ourselves to reach our God-given potential.
Yes, God has made us. We're creatures. We are not God. And as creatures, we have limits. One of my favorite ones is the need for sleep. It doesn't matter how much we fight against it. We need to sleep to function properly. That's the way God has made us. And I love that, because it's a very tangible, incarnate way to say every day, I surrender. I can't hold the world in my own hands. I can't be there for my family, for my job, for my ministry 100% of the time. I literally need to be unconscious to function properly. And in those times when I'm out, I can do it grumbling. I can do it angrily. I can do it complaining about the fact that I need to turn off from work, from whatever I'm doing. Or I can do it gratefully, knowing that even when I sleep, God is sustaining the world. God is in control of everything, is taking care of us. And I think it is a very, very tangible way of worshiping God every day. Yeah, definitely our limits are important, and not to fight against them, but to surrender to them, trusting that God glorifies Himself in them.
The British pastor, one of our heroes around here, Charles Spurgeon, once wrote that God gives us sleep to remind us we are not Him, which is exactly
yes.
what you're talking about there. That's
yes.
great. I love it. What about our habits? How do we approach this? Because, okay, let's get to where the rubber meets the road. How do we develop new habits? Sometimes, again, that can seem daunting, but maybe we need to start slowly, start small, and just be consistent. Consistency, I think, is the key here. What do you think?
Yeah, that is very important. And also realizing that we are creatures of habit, because, again, that's how God made us. He designed this powerful brain we have for it to start doing automatically the things we do over and over again, that's how we're able to do more and more things as we mature. At first, when we're babies, we have to focus a lot on how we place our feet one in front of the other to be able to walk. But now it's a habit. It's something that is deeply ingrained in us, and we don't have to think about it. And that allows us to think about other things and do other things. So in that same way, we've developed a ton of habits. Most are neutral. We don't have a preference if you, I don't know, tie your shoe in a certain way or another, but some of them are really bad. And like, for example, taking our phone the first thing we wake up in the morning and scrolling, I don't know, through social media or through email. That's a habit. That's something our brain learned to do automatically because we started doing it again and again. And that maybe distracts us from the things we should be doing early in the morning, maybe getting ready peacefully for work or spending time with our families or spending time with the word. So we need to be wary of those little things that creep up on us because, again, we are made as creatures of habit, and start creating these practices that can be very small, very simple, but in the long run can make all the difference. So they start compiling, and it turns out to be our life, the way we live our daily practices. So yeah, be on the lookout of those little activities that shape our every day, and ask yourself, if I did this every day for 10 years, what kind of person would I be? And then start making small changes and see how those changes make you into the person God wants you to be.
It's almost like you're stacking the habits, right? You're building one and then another over time. And then you wake up 5 years later and you're like, wow, this is like the fabric of my life, these things that I was so intentional about.
Yes.
The other thing about developing habits, would you agree that it is helpful to attach them to things that we enjoy doing? For instance, let's just use as an example, rather than grabbing my phone and scrolling, I'm going to grab my Bible and spend time with the Lord. And I'm going to have a nice, big, steaming, hot cup of coffee right there. So I'm looking forward to both my coffee and my time with the Lord. Do you think that reinforces some of our habits to do something along those lines?
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, a lot of good habits are in the moment not so pleasant. Exercise is one easy example. At the moment, you don't feel great doing it, but in the long run, we know it's awesome for us. So yes, making our habits enjoyable, it's a great trick to make them stick. I actually did that with exercise. And speaking of YouTube, we talked about YouTube a bit earlier. So to stop my YouTube rabbit hole addiction thing and to motivate myself to exercise, I attached my YouTube watching habit to my elliptical routine habit.
There you go.
You can only watch YouTube videos when you're on that elliptical. And that was great. That really worked, and it was really fun.
So the fruit of the spirit is, at the very end, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Hello, everybody. Self-control. It's almost like God just kind of added that at the very end. But that's important, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the thing is, we can strengthen it. And self-control is not feeling like doing things. It's deciding to doing things. And yes, these little tricks can help us decide what's best.
Yeah. Here's another trick. So it seems to me, if you have to do something like, okay, we're talking about exercise, you don't really love doing, but you love having done it. Maybe you could reward yourself after you're done with something. That's another trick too, or maybe a hack.
Yes, it is. You some productivity and habit authors just warn that your reward needs to be congruent with the habit you're making. So if you reward yourself with a piece of cake after exercise, yeah, that's not going to be
you got
very
my number on
smart.
That one, man. You're calling me out big time on that one.
So yeah, but yeah, rewards can also help a lot.
Wow, that's wonderful. So when we talk about productivity and living life for the glory of God and redeeming our time and all of this, these moments add up to a life over time. And that is just, and you talk about stacking things, that's the way it is. And isn't it important for us to begin with the end in mind? You touched on this earlier. I want to follow up on this. If I make this decision to do this or incorporate this habit, this is going to lead me down the path to where I eventually want to be 5 years from now, if God gives me that much time, 10 years, 15, 20 years. I begin with the end in mind. It's almost like reverse engineering things.
Yes, that is very important. And we need to acknowledge where our small steps are taking us. And if we don't like where they are heading us, we should set another goal and then walk backwards from there. Yes, it's very important to acknowledge how our little steps take us in a certain direction. And that's not, a lot of the time, it's not the direction we actually want to take.
Anna, before we let you go, we want to pull back the curtain on your life because we love to put people on the spot here. We love to make them squirm a little bit. I'm saying that just in jest. But it's true, right, Kate? What does your daily routine look like? And maybe we can glean some insights to productivity from how you organize your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very simple. I don't use social media. That is something that is not a part of my life. So that frees me from the little distraction that creep in the everyday. So my day starts with my family. My husband and I try to wake up before the kids, and we have made the habit of just hanging out together with a cup of coffee and read our Bibles, quiet time, and things like that. Our children know that they have a specific time where they can come down from their rooms, and then they join us for breakfast, and we eat together, and we read our Bibles together. That is habit stacking. Also, we all have breakfast. All our families have breakfast. So, but not all of us read our Bibles. So we made the decision of attaching our family Bible reading time to our breakfast, so we don't have an excuse to miss it. So that's something easy people can do to also develop these habits we want to do. So we have breakfast and we read our Bibles, and then it's time for prepping for school and work, lunches, and doing a little bit of cleanup. Everybody has their chores, as one of the boys takes care of cleaning the table, the other gets the newspaper, they start getting ready for school. And then my husband takes them to school, and that's the time where I get to work and read and do a little bit of cleaning around the house. And when they're back from school, then usually in our afternoons, it's all about hanging out together. Sometimes we do homework. Sometimes we go to the park. We go to get ice cream, or we just chill and do something around the house, games, whatever. We are not, we don't like to overschedule ourselves.
Yes,
we're
yes.
not.
Nice. That's what I was going to say. You actually work in margin, which is really wise.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's just being around the traffic and just getting people from one place to another. It's not fun. So we just hang out and spend time together, and all the things the kids need to learn right now, they're learning at either at school or at home. So we don't overschedule ourselves. And then the kids go to bed in a reasonable time at 7 p.m. They're in their rooms. They can hang out a little bit together, but that's the time mommy and daddy have to be together, watch a movie, or maybe go out if a friend can help us take care of the kids. And then we go to bed.
And then it starts all over again.
It does. It does. It's a very ordinary, but it's a life we're enjoying and making the most of right now. We know it's a season. We want to make the most of the time we have our kids at home. So, yeah. That's what we do.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us, Anna. Thank you for writing this book. And, you know, we really appreciate your time. And we hope you'll come back sometime and we can chat some more. We enjoyed our conversation today.
Great. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.